So, my darlings, welcome. Everybody is so happy to have Sri Daniel here. Everybody was chanting in unison for quite a long time. That's great. I loved it. So just give yourself a couple more minutes to just rest in the Shakti of Om Tara. It's kind of perfect on a rainy night to chant Tara in the boat of Tara. Streaming through the waves of the sea, the ocean. And since Sri Daniel is here, we won't have too much talking or reading tonight, so we can get in lots of chanting. But let me read you. I think I'll do the same thing tonight I did last week. I'll read you Mary Oliver first, and then I'll read you the Gita, and then I'll read you Mary Oliver again. So this first one is, this is from her book, Blue Horses. This is a wonderful book. I forgot how great this book is. I had it down in my office, and I kind of forgot about it, and then I remembered it. It's fantastic. So this one is called On Meditating, Sort of. Meditation, so I've heard, is best accomplished if you entertain a certain strict posture. Frankly, I prefer just to lounge under a tree. So why should I think I could ever be successful? Some days I fall asleep or land in that even better place, half asleep, where the world, spring, summer, autumn, winter, flies through my mind in its hearty ascent and its uncompromising descent. So I lie just like that, while distance and time reveal their true attitudes. They never heard of me, and never will, or ever need to. So I lie just like that, while distance and time reveal their true attitudes. They never heard of me, and never will, or ever need to. Of course, I wake up finally thinking how wonderful to be who I am, made out of earth and water, my own thoughts, my own fingerprints, all that glorious temporary stuff. Meditation, so I've heard, is best accomplished if you entertain a certain strict posture. Frankly, I prefer just to lounge under a tree. So why should I think I could ever be successful? Some days I fall asleep or land in that even better place, half asleep, where the world, spring, summer, autumn, winter, flies through my mind in its hearty ascent and its uncompromising descent. So I just lie like that, while distance and time reveal their true attitudes. They never heard of me, and never will, or ever need to. Of course, I wake up finally thinking how wonderful to be who I am, made out of earth and water, my own thoughts, my own fingerprints, all that glorious temporary stuff. And the second one is called The Mangroves. As I said before, I am living now in a warm place, surrounded by mangroves. Mostly, I walk beside them. They discourage entrance. The black oaks and the pines of my northern home are in my heart. Even as I hear them whisper, "Listen, we are trees too." Okay, I'm trying. They certainly put on an endless performance of leaves. Admiring is easy, but affinity, that does take some time. So many, and so leggy, and all of them rising as if attempting to escape this world, which, don't they know it, can't be done. Are you trying to fly or what, I ask? And they answer back, we are what we are. You are what you are. Love us if you can. As I said before, I am living now in a warm place surrounded by mangroves. Mostly, I walk beside them. They discourage entrance. The black oaks and the pines of my northern home are in my heart, even as I hear them whisper, listen, we are trees too. Okay, I'm trying. They certainly put on an endless performance of leaves. Admiring is easy, but affinity, that does take some time. So many, and so leggy, and all of them rising as if attempting to escape this world, which, don't they know it can't be done? Are you trying to fly or what, I ask? And they answer back, we are what we are. You are what you are. Love us, if you can. And the Gita. This is kind of funny because this is exactly what she's talking about in the meditation poem. We've read these verses already. Sitting down, having chosen a spot that is neither too high nor too low, that is clean and covered with a grass mat, a deerskin and a cloth, he should concentrate with his whole mind on a single object. If he practices in this way, his mind will soon become pure, with torso and head held straight, with posture steady and unmoving, gazing at the tip of his eyes, not letting his eyes look elsewhere. He should sit there calm, fearless, firm in his vow to be chaste, his whole mind controlled, directed, focused, absorbed in me. So that's the kind of meditation she's not doing. Rather ecstatically, I might add. So before I read these verses, I want to read you from Mitchell's introduction, which is so glorious. The Gita is usually thought of as a great philosophical poem. It is that, of course. It is also an instruction manual for spiritual practice and a guide to peace of heart. But essentially, it is, as its title implies, a love song to God. However powerful its thinking, its intention is not to be a treatise, but a psalm. And here is the point. The Gita is a love song to reality. The Gita is a love song to reality. That's what God is. The Gita is a love song to reality. A hymn in praise of everything, excellent and beautiful and brave. It is a love song to both the darkness and the light, to our own true self in the depths of being, the core from which all the glories and horrors of the universe unfold. These are such magnificent definitions of God. And this one here, the long passages in which Krishna describes himself are extraordinarily moving. They keep brimming over with love and boldness. Krishna's first-person pronoun is a resplendent act of the human imagination. It is the poet himself speaking as God so that he can speak about God. His love here is so intense and intimate that the reader must step into the words that see that every I is really a you. So profound. Krishna's first-person pronoun is a resplendent act of the human imagination. It is the poet himself speaking as God so that he can speak about God. His love here is so intense and intimate that the reader must step into the words to see that every I is really a you. And so it goes. Mature in yoga, impartial, everywhere that he looks, he sees himself in all beings, and all beings in himself. He's speaking here about the mature yogi who has mastered mind and body, purified all sin, blah, 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 blah. Mature in yoga, impartial, Everywhere that he looks, he sees himself in all beings and all beings in himself. The man who sees me in everything and everything within me will not be lost to me, nor will I ever be lost to him. Remember, this is Krishna talking. He who is rooted in oneness realizes that I am in every being. Wherever he goes, he remains in me. When he sees all beings as equal, in suffering or in joy, because they are like himself, that man has grown perfect in yoga. It's just the same truth that Mary Oliver is singing. Mature in yoga, impartial, everywhere that he looks, he sees himself in all beings and all beings in himself. The man who sees me in everything and everything within me will not be lost to me, nor will I ever be lost to him. He who is rooted in oneness realizes that I am in every being. Wherever he goes, he remains in me. When he sees all beings as equal, in suffering or in joy, because they are like himself, that man has grown perfect in yoga. Meditation, so I've heard, is best accomplished if you entertain a certain strict posture. Frankly, I prefer just to lounge under a tree. So why should I think I could ever be successful? Some days I fall asleep or land in that even better place, half asleep, where the world, spring, summer, autumn, winter, flies through my mind in its hearty ascent and its uncompromising descent. So I just lie like that, while distance and time reveal their true attitudes. They never heard of me and never will or ever need to. Of course, I wake up finally thinking how wonderful to be who I am, made out of earth and water, my own thoughts, my own fingerprints, all that glorious, temporary stuff. As I said before, I am living now in a warm place surrounded by mangroves. Mostly, I walk beside them. They discourage entrance. The black oaks and the pines of my northern home are in my heart, even as I hear them whisper, "Listen, we are trees too." Okay, I'm trying. They certainly put on an endless performance of leaves. Admiring is easy, but affinity, that does take some time. So many and so leggy, and all of them rising as if attempting to escape this world, which, don't they know, it can't be done. "Are you trying to fly or what?" I ask, and they answer back, "We are what we are. You are what you are. Love us if you can. Love us if you can." That would be the mature yogi experiencing that we're all the same at the core.